Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 400, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Happy is the man that chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is stayed. And what follows, Psalter 400, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. A portion out of God's holy word which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 22, the verses 1 through 14. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 22, the first 14 verses. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Have mercy, O Lord, of the heavens and of the earth. And then thou wast granted in thy goodness a many a blessing unto us and our children, so liberally, so bountifully, and so undeservedly. And may we have an impression thereof when we have come up to thy house for the second time on this Lord's Day. And may it be all thy goodness and thy long-suffering that bringeth us to that repentance, a place at thy footstool, a need to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, then thou yet maketh a great difference with most of the people upon the earth. We commend unto thee that country which thou wast shaken with a great earthquake, and where so many were ushered into eternity, many wounded, many missing, many overwhelmed. Wilt thou remember that people? May they be given to hear thy voice, as the psalmist has declared, God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongeth unto God, and unto him belongeth also mercy, Lord. May the shaking of the earth, may it be accompanied by thy Spirit, that many sinners may learn to tremble before thy majesty and cry unto thee for mercy. There are those that had nothing to eat. There are those that are homeless, wandering over the earth senseless without a purpose. Many in countries where there is civil unrest, and many countries of persecution. And then who maketh us to differ? That is thou, Lord. May it please thee to grant profound impressions thereof, and with many blessings, 'tis accompanied with many responsibilities, we may still have the truth of thy holy word, may still be proclaimed that there is a way to be saved through thy beloved Son, whom thou wast given as a gift, that even the chiefest of sinners may be saved. We have heard out of thy holy word that thou wast sent out thy servants. Many have made light of it, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Others were bolder. They have slain thy servants, but yet thy house was filled. Lord, we humbly ask of thee by renewal for the loving and the powerful work of thy Holy Spirit. Thou knowest how deeply we have fallen, how hard we have become, But now the wonder of grace, that thou art gathering thy chosen church, and thou hast appointed the means to that end, the preaching of the gospel, and thou hast written in thy word that by the foolishness of preaching, that sinner shall be saved. Lord, thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy house. When it is form and duty, 'tis according to thy word. Wilt thou add thy blessing, but may there also have come up souls, with a desire and with a longing that they may meet thee, and that this sanctuary may indeed be a house of God, of instruction, of comfort, of edification, a house of rejoicing, and a house of praise. Lord, for hungry and thirsty ones, then thou hast promised that thou shalt provide food in thy house. Thou hast a people upon the earth that have learned to cry for that hunger and for that thirst. Thy church learns that it is all of grace, the work of a triune God. Wilt thou bless thy word in the church? Help the consistory to that end, who is sufficient unto these things. Bless thy word in the family circles. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their dear children. Bless thy word in our Christian school. Grant traveling mercies daily. Remember and help all those that labor therein. May it be carried upon the wings of prayer for the welfare of the upcoming generation. We commend unto thee the established churches, uphold the persecuted church, remember all mission work, also our mission field, with those that labor therein. Wilt thou remember the Jewish nation? May the veil hastily be taken off. Lord, remember the nations of the earth. Remember our poor nation and our province. Thou hast recorded in thy holy word of Manasseh that has filled the streets of Jerusalem with blood, that thou hast put him in prison, and that he has learned that the Lord was God. And when he was freed, then he has done his utmost to undo what he has done, although much could not be reversed. Lord, impress upon all of our hearts that we are part of this nation. And national sins, they are great, alarming, profound. That is also our guilt. May thy church be brought in the guilt. Wilt thou grant repentance unto thy church of our evil and worldly ways, when we may see the approach of the judgments, the signs of the times? May we not become overly discouraged, but may we be brought more on our knees and a hastening for our life's sake to find a place under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel. We commend unto thee two young couples who soon hope, the one couple this week, another couple the week thereafter, who hope to come up to thy house to be united in holy matrimony, to place themselves under thy holy word, to ask for thy blessing, and so begin life's journey together as husband and wife. Lord, wilt thou impress upon their young hearts how dependent we are upon thee? Bring them oftentimes on their knees. Be their pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And may they be given to ask of thee, that it may be marriages for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. In that respect, wilt thou graciously remember and provide for our young people. Remember and bless the family circles. May thy word have a place of authority, and may love abound. When it is not so, grant a bowing of the knees and repentance. Then we remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, and those that have brought children to the grave. Continue to uphold them. Remember all our elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, the residents, and those that may care for them. Remember all under the care of the physician. Lord, thou knowest the deep concerns, the cares, the worries. Grant a place at thy footstool. Cannot be different, at times overwhelmed. May it be with the psalmist of old, when my soul was overwhelmed within me, and then thou knewest my path. And may the special speakings, may it be sanctified by thy Spirit, that the afflictions of the body, that they may be used for the saving of the soul. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones? Also for them it cannot be different. Many questions, at times overwhelmed. Wilt thou grant them courage? Lord, we humbly ask thee for the opening of thy precious testimony. Anoint us with fresh oil from above. May thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou grant a special hour in thy house? May there be much fruit upon the labors, Lord, in the realm of nature. Then thou hast given much, although certain areas there has been hail, but not widespread destruction. And then thou granteth beautiful opportunity to harvest the gardens and the fields. May there be moments that the hearts may indeed become soft and broken. And with the psalmist, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? May there then be a looking, an earnest looking, for fruit upon the seed of thy word that may be sown in so many ways, in so many places thou hast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 82, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Defend me, Lord, from shame, for still I trust in thee. Since just and righteous is thy name, from trouble set me free. And what follows, Psalter 82, the three stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 30, the questions 80, 81, and 82 with their answers. Question 80, what difference is there between the Lord's Supper and the Popish Mass? Answer, the Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have a full pardon of all sin by the only sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he himself has once accomplished on the cross, and that we by the Holy Ghost are engrafted into Christ, who according to his human nature is now not in earth but in heaven, at the right hand of God his Father, and will there be worshipped by us. But the Mass teaches that the living and dead have not the pardon of sins through the sufferings of Christ, unless Christ is also daily offered for them by the priests, and further, that Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine, and therefore is to be worshipped in them, so that the Mass at bottom is nothing else than a denial of the one sacrifice and sufferings of Jesus Christ, and an accursed idolatry. Question 81. For whom is the Lord's Supper instituted? Answer, for those who were truly sorrowful for their sins, and yet trust that these are forgiven them for the sake of Christ, and that their remaining infirmities are covered by his passion and death, and who also earnestly desire to have their faith more and more strengthened and their lives more holy. But hypocrites and such as turn not to God with sincere hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Question 82. Are they also to be admitted to this supper who by confession and life declare themselves unbelieving and ungodly? Answer, no, for by this the covenant of God would be profaned and his wrath kindled against the whole congregation. Therefore, it is the duty of the Christian Church, according to the appointment of Christ and his apostles, to exclude such persons by the keys of the kingdom of heaven till they show amendment of life. Lord's Day 30 speaks of the partakers of the table of the Holy Supper, with four thoughts. In the first place, the instructed partakers. Secondly, the invited partakers. Thirdly, the deceived partakers. And fourthly, the excluded partakers. The partakers of the table of the Holy Supper. The instructed partakers, the invited partakers, the deceived partakers, and the excluded partakers. Beloved congregation, a question and answer number 80 that was not in the first edition of the Heidelberg Catechism. Then history, different thoughts, but it seems to be that Frederick III, that he is asked that number 80 would be added to the catechism. It was added in the second edition, although not the full answer. With the third edition, then more has been added. Because it was in December of 1563 that the Council of Trent has come to an end, and that they have stated anathemas, curses over people of the congregations who did not believe in the doctrine of transubstantiation and the Mass. And therefore, in number 80, then we read of a more fiery spirit than Frederick III in the first place, who was not so concerned about being politically correct, but it concerned the truth. It concerned the only sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When we read question and answer number 80, then it would seem we must realize that our forms of unity based upon the scriptures, that they are not inspired, and that perhaps more logical if they had placed number 80 in the former Lord's Day, number 29, where there has been spoken of the heirs concerning the Lord's Supper. And nevertheless, when it concerns the table and the partakers of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then number 80 is also a question and answer of examination. And then by renewal, in number 80 in the answer, then it was used to glorify and to lift high the only sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only foundation, the only way whereby sinners can be saved. That is so clear in the first part of the answer. Because then the instructors, before they were given to speak of the great heir, how God does honoring the masses are, then he is given to speak of their precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have a full pardon of all sins by the only sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Mass is completely opposite, because the Mass teaches the Church that Christ each time by renewal, that he needs to be sacrificed on the altar. Because, boys and girls, you can remember last time, we have heard that the Roman Catholic Church teaches that when the priest speaks certain words, that the bread and wine, that they are changed into the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the bread and wine that is placed upon the altar to that end in a Roman Catholic Church, then in the center shall not be the pulpit, but that shall be the altar and the pulpit more to the side. And when we consider this question, then we do well to turn in unto ourselves, because Reformed people, they can also have so many masses, and what they mean, things that they trust in, whereby they hope that at the end it shall be well. Congregation, how is it with our masses? What do we trust in? What is our hope for that never-ending eternity? Boys and girls, young people, what is your hope? Then maybe you shall say that I may receive a new heart, and that is good. But may I ask you, have you now received that new heart? Because boys and girls and young people, they can also die. There can be those secret hopes, convictions, some tears, maybe even a change for the better, godly forefathers, and we are still in the land of the living. But our question and answer number 80, that points us to the dear Son of God. I read in 1 John 5 verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. We have heard out of Matthew 22 that the king has made a marriage supper for a son, and then he has sent out his servants, and he has invited people. And then we have heard that some made light of it. The one went to his merchandise, and other places have a similar parable in Luke 14, when the king has sent his servants, the one has said, I have bought a piece of ground, another 5 oxen, and another one has married his wife. Congregation, how is it with us, the Word of God? All the invitations, where it may still be declared that there is room, where there is the calling to repent and to come. Are we still likened unto those that we have heard of, that we refuse to come? There were those that were bolder. They have killed those servants. They had no desire to come. Oh, young and old, we have heard it, that the king has become angry and that many were destroyed. What is now so necessary? Calm down, Holy Spirit. Quicken dead sinners. Show them their need. Teach them. that with all their masses, if we may so say it, that we cannot satisfy the justice of God. Teach them that is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for that precious Savior. And to that end, each time by renewal we hear it, it is the desire and the delight of the instructors to lift up that precious Savior in his necessity, suitability, and beauty. The Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have a full pardon of all sin by the only sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he himself has once accomplished on the cross, and that we by the Holy Ghost, each time the instructors, they stress the necessity of the work of the Holy Ghost, are engrafted into Christ. And then they have continued that he sitteth in heaven. But the Mass teaches that the living and dead in the Roman Catholic Church, then they have masses for the living and for the dead. Because the Roman Catholic Church teaches their people, with the exception of a few saints and martyrs, that people that stand in a good relationship with the Church at their death are first sent to purgatory, where there is extreme suffering, different descriptions, even similar to hell, the difference that it shall not be forever. Thus that means if a Roman Catholic would believe what they are taught, then also nearly at all funerals there must be great sadness and grief, because they are taught that such a one must go to purgatory. And let us not throw stones, congregation. Do we believe what we profess? Also concerning death and eternity. And now concerning masses for the dead. And the mass that is the greatest money-generating income. It fills the coffers of the Church. Thus in that false church it goes much about money, and it is a religion of fear and not a religion of love, because they are told the more masses, the more money they pay, the sooner that their loved one may come out of purgatory and go to heaven. And if such a person would ask the Church, how much do I need to pay? Then there shall be no answer. Thus then we see what an awful doctrine. And that's why our instructors have used such strong a language. And then the instructors, they have described it so. But the Mass teaches that the living and dead have not the pardon of sins through the sufferings of Christ, unless Christ is also daily offered for them by the priests. Thus the Mass that denies the sixth crossword of the Savior, it is finished. Then they teach that Christ needs to be sacrificed each time by renewal. When we think of the Mass, that name no place is found in the Scriptures. In the second place, it is clear that the ceremonial laws and the priesthood has come to an end when the veil was rent with the death of cross, with Christ's death on the cross. And in the third place, that it is so clear in the scriptures that there is no ground for an altar in the New Testament, of pulpit, the proclamation of God's word, and an altar. And therefore, and further, that Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine, and therefore is to be worshipped in them. Thus at that altar, when the bread and wine is laid upon it, sacrificed, then the people are given to bow, and we have mentioned, does not mean there is no sincerity, does not mean there are no tears, not mean there are no convictions, but so contrary to God's holy word, the Spirit teaches sinners. They learn. Martin Luther, he has stated in a certain place, had been on the way for many years, and then he says, people, if you cut open the heart of Martin Luther, out will jump the Pope, so bound to that covenant of works. 'Tis the work of the Spirit to teach his true people that with all their masses, their efforts, that they cannot satisfy the justice of God. 'Tis the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for that precious Savior, what he has done. And therefore, the instructors have added so that the Mass at bottom is nothing else but a denial of the one sacrifice and sufferings of Jesus Christ and an accursed idolatry. And the Church learns not only of sins against the law, but also the great sin of unbelief, the sin of counting the blood of Jesus Christ an unclean thing. Our second thought, the invited partakers for whom is the Lord's Supper instituted? Have we become busy with that question, congregation? For whom is the Lord's Supper instituted? And then it is true for our boys and girls. Then we may not come, but when the Lord begins to work in our hearts, then we do become exercised with the Lord's Supper. Because when we see that table, then we shall see it so holy. And for a holy people. And then we learn that we are so unholy. And then we become so jealous of the true people of God. And then we are given to ask and beg the Lord whether we may belong to that blessed people. Because when the Lord works, then we become exercised with our sins, with death and eternity, with that separation, and then many prayers are sent up. For whom is the Lord's For who is the Lord's Supper instituted? Congregation, when you have never become exercised therewith, then you are saying therewith that you are unconverted, that you stand outside, and that you are not even so concerned. Tell the Lord how unconverted, how hard, how indifferent, maybe even wishing that there was no God and that you could only spend your all in the world. But we cannot remain here, congregation. We are traveling and hastening to eternity. And now the Lord has a people. Does not begin with the Lord's Supper, it is true. A holy jealousy. But so unconverted and so black, so defiled, so ignorant in heavenly ways, yet a desire to belong to that blessed people that are saved by the Lord. That becomes their longing. And now, for that people of God, where the Lord works, then they become busy with this question. They need to realize that the Lord's Supper, that it is not the Savior. It is the means of grace which Christ the King has appointed for the strengthening of faith, that they may do it in remembrance of Him. And now there are souls that they become deeply exercised with that wedding garment. What does the wedding garment now consist of? Then in our parable, then for all the guests that were invited, then they were given that wedding garment without money and without price, that they would be fitting guests at the table of the Son of the King. And then when the King came to behold his guests, then he was given to rejoice that there were so many that were clothed with the wedding garment which the King has prepared for all those guests. But then there was one that has thought that his own garment was sufficient, maybe just as beautiful. And to that end, he has refused to put that wedding garment on. And then the King was surely with sadness. He's his friend. How camest thou hither without a wedding garment? The Lord has a people upon the earth that they are much exercised with that wedding garment. What does that wedding garment now really consist of? The Lord has a people that experience that also the way to the Lord's Supper, that it is a narrow way. On the one hand, not to presume. On the other hand, not to deny the Savior. How tossed with tempest that people can be. And then they are given to ask the Lord to be instructed, to be guided, and with the bride of the Song of Solomon, 1:4, draw me, and we will run after thee. And now the instructors, then the answer, then in the first place, for those who were truly sorrowful for their sins, then the instructors do not say, for a people that have been sorrowful, maybe many years ago, but they are given to state for those who are. And then they have added that wordly truly can be sorrow for the consequences of sin, but not on account of the character of sin. In that true work of the Lord, then he worketh by love, and then that godly sorrow that is wrought, that flows forth from a knowledge of that good doing, that just, that great and majestic God. And then they become so sorrowful as they read in 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. Know that repentance cannot satisfy justice, but it shall be experienced in congregation when that godly sorrow is more and more missed in the midst of a church, a congregation. Do you know what shall happen? Then at the holy table of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there shall appear worldliness. There shall be religion, because in paradise we have not fallen out of our religion, but there shall be religion without that tender fear of the Lord, a religion without that awe and that reverence, that holy table, a religion without experiencing continually a Romans 7. Then there shall come a table, people, without that true need, that true love for their Savior, who has given himself so willingly and so freely, and to be partakers of that broken bread and poured out wine that points to the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have heard in the last two Lord's days. In the form, then we read concerning that godly sorrow that they are given to abhor and humble themselves, shall be that smallness, that bewonderment. But now more is necessary when there are souls that can live off of their misery, off of their hunger and thirst, and it is already sweet. But if souls can continue in that way, then there must also be questions, because it is the work of the Spirit not only to work that godly sorrow, but as I read in John 16:14, he shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you. And to that end, in the second place, and ye trust that these are forgiven them for the sake of Christ. Thus that speaks of a knowledge of the Savior, that he has become necessary, suitable, and precious. Let us think a moment of Ruth. She has made that good choice. Now begin with the Lord's Supper. Have you made that good choice, congregation? Boys and girls, young people, older ones, elderly ones, if you're still unconverted, it's high time, because the time is short. When we read this parable, have there been elderly ones and said, "Ach, Lord, that is now the picture of my life." So many callings, so many sermons, so many blessings have made light of it. The one to his farm, the other one is merchandise, maybe even like those servants. Oh, it is still the time of grace. May you be given to haste. But now Ruth, with that good choice, never regretted it. And then in chapter 2, she has come on the fields of Boaz. She was given to glean. She was given to behold the riches of Boaz. She was given to see the servants of Boaz. Oh, as a Moabite, how she must have desired, how jealous she was of those young men and maidens that were servants of Boaz. And now if we have went to visit Ruth, what do you now know of Boaz? Then she could tell us that he was rich, that he was generous, because she was allowed to glean, that he had many servants. But if we now ask Ruth, what does he look like? And what does his voice sound like? Then Ruth would tell us that I do not know, because I have not met him. But then there came a time at the end of that chapter, and we have said, Ruth, can you now tell us something about Boaz? Then she would begin to speak out of her heart. She would tell us, he has come to visit me when I was gleaning. He has spoken so lovingly and tenderly. He has even stated that I have come to trust under his wings. He has invited me to a meal, and I have heard that he has told his servants that they must drop those handfuls. Then a Ruth could speak of a knowledge of Boaz in the way of experience. Before, there could have been a servant that tried to describe what Boaz looked like and what his voice sounded like, but then she did not really know. But then when Boaz has appeared, then she could speak of who Boaz was. And then her exercises have become different. Oh, then she still loved to glean those gifts of Boaz. But then it was her vehement desire. Oh, then surely when she was gleaning, that each time she is looked up, whether Boaz would come by renewal and speak kindly to her, give a little more instruction, it is true, she still needed to learn more. Because when she came home to Naomi, and she was given to unburden her heart and show everything she had received, then Naomi said, he is our near kinsman. But for that kinsmanship, room would be made later. Thus, do this in remembrance of me, that by the workings of the Spirit, that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has been revealed, that we have become exercised, that we need him. And now when our instructors speak, and yet trust that these are forgiven them for the sake of Christ, then our instructors in the form that does not speak, that such a one needs the full assurance of faith, although the child of God must seek after it, because in the form it says to believe the faithful promises of God. And then there is also mentioned in the prayer, in a confession, that the child has not perfect faith, and in the closing prayer, that attends to the daily increase of our faith. Thus, with that refuge taken faith, when the true child of God, with the revealed Savior and Mediator, be given to see that he is fully satisfied justice, that he is paid for the people of his the sins of his people, and given to see such a fullness, and given to hope even with a refuge taken faith, that he has also paid the price for me, then such are invited. And further examination separates the precious from the vile, and that their remaining infirmities, it's a description of the true, a humble people, those remaining infirmities, 'tis a blessing, when they may be filled with that sorrow each time by renewal, have to confess, "Ach Lord, thou hast been so good, so gracious, given thy dearly beloved Son, instructed, comforted, and yet those remaining infirmities, how am I thus but to be given to see?" And the sacrament is for that strengthening, that also those remaining infirmities are covered by his passion and death. Let us first sing Psalter 56, the three stanzas. My shepherd is the Lord, who knows my needs, and I am blessed. By quiet streams in pastures green, he leads me and makes me rest. And what follows? Psalter 56, 1 and 2. and when necessary, also the third. A further, and who also earnestly desire to have their faith more and more strengthened. That speaks of the further leadings in the life of God's people. Thus, when the instructors speak more and more, then they are not speaking of souls that speak of matters that have taken place many years ago. But then they are given to speak of souls that may have a life bound to the throne of grace. and not satisfied with the knowledge that there is a city of refuge. Of course, a great wonder and an encouragement that there is such a city. But for that people more and more strengthened with the avenger on their heels, that they are given to hasten to make their calling and election sure, and not to rest satisfied till they may find a place in that city of refuge where they may be safe, but also further to experience the death of the high priest, whereby they may be set free. And then further in that gratitude and their lives more holy. Thus the instructors by renewal, they have mentioned that word more. We find it three times in answer number 81. When it is lively in the soul, led into the mysteries of salvation, what it has cost Christ to set them free, to pay that debt, then it shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me, as the psalmist has spoken in Psalm 116, verse 12. Then it is their desire, if it could be possible, to live wholly before the Lord, to walk perfectly, but that is reserved for heaven. Thirdly, the deceived partakers. And then the instructors have added, but hypocrites and such as turn not to God with sincere hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. The true child of God, they have much trouble with such people. They are often given to examine themselves. What a trouble they can have with Esau, who sought repentance with tears. What a trouble they can have with Saul, who was given to prophesy. What an anxious trouble they can have with Judas, who preached, cast out devils, was a called disciple. Ah, the true work they are given to tell the Lord oftentimes how it is. There is, of course, a difference between those that deceive themselves on account of wrong teachers, wrong instruction, and the devil as an angel of light, and hypocrites. Those that are deceived, they know it not, but the hypocrite knows. Comes from a Greek word, to wear a mask. When Judas has went to the Sanhedrin and promised that he would betray his master for 30 pieces of silver, and when at the Lord's Supper he said, "Is it I?" then he was an hypocrite. they eat and drink judgment to themselves does not mean they can be converted. And the devil, when the end draws nigh, then the devil shall try for the hypocrite to keep their hope firm. But the devil for the saints, when the end draws nigh, to disturb their peace. Our forethought speaks of excluded partakers and of the keys of heaven, which Lord's Day 31 speaks of, the Lord willing. We shall combine it with the next Lord's Day. Congregation, what is necessary to attend the Holy Supper of the Lord? That is what is necessary to die. And we must all die. Only a step between us and death. And then in this evening, as in that parable, then the gospel may be proclaimed, that perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the invitations still come to you. What shall you do with them in this evening hour? May it bring us on our knees. May the prayers be multiplied to pray with the bride of old in the Song of Solomon, 4 verse 16. Then it speaks of the bride that was quickened. Need the Spirit to quicken us. And then the bride is prayed, awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow out. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may humbly thank thee for another Lord's Day. A few words to speak. We have heard of the parable of the invitation to come. Ah, Lord, by nature none will come, but by thy free and sovereign grace there shall be those that shall come. May that number have been increased in this day. We may commence another week. Wilt thou graciously remember us wherever we are called to be, in the home, on the way, at work, at school. Remember our youth that are studying in institutions of higher learning. Wilt thou remember the consistory when they hope to meet tomorrow evening, gather with us. Remember the congregation on the coming Lord's Day. Wilt thou help the consistory, help the doorkeepers, those that may lead the congregational singing, all those that have an active part in the service, and may the whole congregation be active, that they may be Aaron's and hers. Wilt thou keep from harm and danger, keep us from sin and temptation, Bring us safely to our dwellings. May this night witness thy good care and kind protection. May we awake tomorrow morning refreshed for the duties which thou hast laid upon us. May we be found good stewards of what thou hast entrusted unto us. Grant a prayer for one another. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 27, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. O God, preserve me, for in thee alone my trust is stood. My soul has said, thou art my Lord, my chief and only good. And what follows, Psalter 27, 1, 2, 4, and 5. the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.